Hello, lovely hogs. Andrew here, and we are so excited to bring Trusty Hogs Live all over the world. Yes, as you listen to this, we have one date left in Australia at the Sydney Factory Theatre. That is on the 27th of April. And then we are back in the Northern Hemisphere with Dublin. Yes, we are so excited to come to Ireland for the first time. We're bringing Trusty Hogs Live to the Laughter Lounge on the 4th of June. Tuesday the 4th of June in Dublin, there's going to be an Irish history lecture from Heather. There's going to be drunken karaoke. There's going to be problem solving. All sorts of chaos. All the usual. It is not to be missed. Make sure you get your tickets early because we are expecting to sell out. TrustyHogs.com/tour for all the tickets and info. That's Dublin on the 4th of June. Then we are into July with Bristol, Brighton, Edinburgh in August, London at the Clapham Grand on the 16th of October, and then we close out our tour in Manchester on the 6th of November. So make sure you go to TrustyHogs.com/tour. Get your tickets quick because some of these are already sold out. Some of them are very nearly there, and we cannot wait to see you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to episode 133 of Trusty Hogs in Australia. It's me.
Welcome.
It's me, Catherine Bowerhart, and that was Helen Bauer. I think you'll have guessed it, believe it or not.
I've become Australian now. I've got the accent. I bloody love a Tim Tam.
I think they're fine.
Oh yeah, they're just fine.
Can I just say they're fine? Have you had a bourbon? Because those are much better. Do you know
what
I mean?
A bourbon. Above
no, I meant a whiskey.
Okay.
Through the fog, step forth the trusty hogs. Yeah, you're gonna give them your problems and they will solve them. Or maybe they won't, and that's your problem. They'll have guests and Andrew White on the tech. Oh, it's Helen and Catherine as the trusty hogs. Trust the trusty hogs, or maybe not.
So have you tried whiskey?
That'll be an interesting one for you to try. No, you're right. It is a bourbon. But they're fine.
Have you seen the bourbon biscuits they're now selling at M&S? You know, they were doing the coated bourbon biscuits, where it was a bourbon cream biscuit dipped in chocolate.
No, fuck, that's
now they're
amazing.
Doing bourbon double stuffed, which is a bourbon biscuit with double the amount of cream in the middle.
I want the dipped, guys. I want double dipped.
You think you want double dipped. You actually want the double dipped custard creams.
I don't like custard creams.
Why though?
No, nope, just not for me.
It's just sugar and
fluff. That's why I don't like it. It just tastes like sugar. I want chocolate. I always want chocolate. Shit. I don't eat jelly sweets really. I don't like, that's not what I go for. I'm just always chocolate.
Yeah, I just saw you eating a chocolate cake in all fairness.
Fuck, it was so good.
It looked beautiful.
It was so good. So we're working out of this podcast studio in Australia and Australians are so welcoming. I really love it. So friendly. As a culture, they're so inclusive mm-hmm. for white tourists.
and you know what? It's a pleasure and a privilege. Thank you for having us.
I just want to caveat that. But what I meant to say was that this podcast studio, it's somebody's birthday. Shout out to them.
Happy birthday. They
had a beautiful cake, like chocolate mousse cake.
Yeah.
And they just gave us some. Like, we're involved in the birthday. We're not, but I'm thrilled.
I feel like it's friendly to the point that if you go into a coffee shop twice, the second time you go in, welcome back.
I know.
Welcome back.
Now, to be fair, we went to the same coffee shop twice in the same day.
Helen. Welcome back.
You gotta stop it.
It's nice. It's just friendly.
It is nice.
I'm just trying to get the accent before I go home.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad you have some time. Let's.
You know, I've been mistaken for Australian before.
No, you have.
In the UK, I have. People have
in
been
the
like,
UK.
I'm not joking. People have been like, oh, where in Australia are you from? Other English people have said it to me before. They've been like, are you from Australia?
Were you doing your accent at the time?
Nope, just talking like these.
Okay, all right, so yes.
I'm from Mooloolaba.
What's Mooloolaba?
I don't know. I used to work in a cafe in London and one of the guys was Australian there and he had a postcard up from Mooloolaba. And I just remember
what the hell is Mooloolaba?
It was right by where I was washing dishes was this postcard from Mooloolaba, so I can see it really clearly in my mind.
It's up north. Simon's uncle lives there. It's real.
Mooloolaba.
What's it like?
Really, really hot and like muggy and humid and like coastal.
coastal and humid. Beachy. Don't mind if we do.
Like Torquay in Devon. Torquay in Devon, I'd say. It's like exactly the same as Torquay and Devon.
That's what
I'd
Simon
say.
Definitely said.
Mooloolaba. There's just so many beautiful place names in Australia. I was like,
that's a beautiful place name too, is it?
Yes.
Mooloolaba.
There's so many gorgeous. I was like on Google Maps and I was sort of like looking at like the different places we're staying. Because obviously, like, I'm going to two of the same cities. You've obviously been in Melbourne before, but it's like, oh, where am I staying this time? Where am I staying there? And then you sort of like zoom out a bit because it's like in Brisbane, I want to go to the Australia Zoo.
Yeah.
Which is Steve Irwin Zoo.
Yeah.
And now run by his children. Yeah. Oh my God, I'm so excited. Right. But I was like, oh my God. And then you see the town names around it. Because you know I'm obsessed with Cobra Pado.
I'm sorry, what did you say to me?
Cobra Pado. That there's a
I
whole...
don't think you should say that in that accent because it really sounds like you're going to say a different word the second time.
Pete, oh no. No, they're not like that there. They all live underground.
What is it?
And it's a opal mining town.
Right.
Okay. And if you go outside, the flies just land on your face. So that's where they have to wear the hats with the corks on it. You know, from the like...
Why would anybody live there? They live in fly town.
It was on Instant Hotel. Do you remember that Australian reality show that we got during lockdown on Netflix?
No.
And oh my God, Catherine. Okay.
I was having a breakup.
Oh my God. The perfect time to watch Australian reality TV.
I was really busy re-watching fucking Schitt's Creek,
Instant
wasn't I?
Hotel. It's hosted by one woman who is a hotel expert / TV presenter.
Right.
And Lawrence Llewellyn Bowen.
No! He's back. Maybe he's back
he's
again.
Back on Australian reality TV. So what he was doing was he would host, it was basically like Four in a Bed, the bread and breakfast show.
Yeah.
And they would host people at
I've
their,
never seen that either.
So it's like families who run bed and breakfasts and they compete and they have people, all the other bed and breakfast people stay at theirs for a weekend and then they vote for their favorite bed and breakfast. So like, but they're called instant hotels here, not bed and breakfasts. So
oh, they're called instant hotels.
But they like pick duos to like host it. So like the Sydney B&B is hosted by a babe and Bondi. Babe's the mum, Bondi's the daughter, named after the boy.
Behave.
And no joke, it's incredible.
Behave.
And obviously they're white, but they've got like so many Buddhas everywhere. Like it's like a full on temple. We're Babe
women.
And Bondi.
We know these women.
Never been abroad. Oh, we've been to Indonesia, but just at the white places, and they're just so amazing. And then there's a couple that are in Cobra Pado, okay? And they
I wish
have
you wouldn't say it like that.
Cobra Pado, and
better.
It's
actually better.
It's just pure aridness, and then they make them go golfing. It's their fun activity, and every time they like do anything,
in the heat.
They're just covered in flies. It's
no,
insane.
I don't like that. That's
and there's
no.
A couple that have this American Roadhouse instant hotel in like the wine valleys of like Western Australia. It looks incredible.
An American what now?
Like, you know when people like do a wacky hotel, like a themed hotel?
Right.
And they've decided that in the middle of like, I don't know, let's just say the Yarra Valley, but I don't know where it is. They're going to have like an American style diner.
Oh no.
Hotel. So surrounded
no.
by these amazing
no.
vineyards and vistas
no.
and their theming is welcome to the 1950s.
No.
So it's like the black and white checkered floor. Like you can sleep in the Marilyn Monroe room or in an old car.
Sorry, that was rude.
They give you the Marilyn drugs.
A deep sleep in the Marilyn room.
It's so amazing. And they're the sweetest couple. Like he's got like the mullet, like not like the new mullet, the first
the classic
mullet.
the long at the back
to the point where like he probably got it at school and it's just never gone away.
Oh, wow.
Like it feels like he was born with it.
That's impressive.
It's such a good show.
In many ways, aren't we all born with a mullet? Like those of us with hair have usually got like a little bit long bits at the back and sort of short.
You're
at the front.
So right. And babies have that bald spot as well.
Yeah.
But I was born with lots of blonde hair and then it all just fell out immediately and I was bald for like 2 years.
But that always happens. Everyone loses their baby hair, don't they?
Yeah, but some people grow it back quicker. Like I was toddling around walking, still bald.
Whoa.
Like, hello. And they were like, why is that baby so big? And like saying hello, but with no hair still.
That's quite nice. Actually, that's not my story to tell, but Ellen could talk before she could walk. She was like a slow walker, slow to walk. And
no, that's creepy.
She walks very fast because she's gay, obviously.
Yeah.
But she, yeah, so Once her grandma came over, and before she could say anything, Ellen was like, "No, grandma, I'm not walking yet."
To be able to say that is so creepy.
Before you're stepping is crazy.
Because there's that famous joke, like, a child should never be asked to be wiped. Like, if you're old enough to ask to have your nappy changed and have a wipe, then you shouldn't be wiped.
Yikes.
You know?
Yikes.
Because that's just creepy.
Yikes.
It's like those kids whose memories start too early. Like, my friend Gwyneth remembers being changed.
Oh, no!
She remembers lying next to her cousin and having her nappy changed.
Also, sometimes you see a kid that's like... sometimes you see a kid... We saw a kid being breastfed recently, and I swear to God, his feet were kicking her knees. Like,
no!
Yeah? You're like, that's a no. It's
obviously, her body, her choice. Obviously, her body, her choice.
No,
no. No, we're feminists. We're feminists.
Oh, well, I think that's actually...
But it's the same thing. If you can ask for the nipple, you can't have the nipple.
You know?
You can't...
Do you know what I mean?
You have... You can't...
Let's use our words and order some lunch.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, let's just do that.
It's time. It's time. Also, at some point...
Sorry.
You must be aware that, like, you...
I mean, I think you can tell I wasn't breastfed, but...
Ever.
No.
I spent some time on the nipple. Definitely spent some time on
the nipple. I'm making up for lost time now, my what?
Oh, no. Your poor mother.
Oh, no, not with her.
No, obviously not. Obviously not. That'd be mental. That'd be fucking mental.
Let's change the topic.
Right? 100%. Feminism. So what have you been enjoying your nipple?
What have you been up to?
You know what, Catherine? Ugh. What are you doing for Christmas? We'd love to know what the big plans are this year. Let's stress ourselves out now. And then deal with the rest later on.
I actually can't do Christmas as early with you because you are too much. So let's talk instead for Christmas. Come on. It's a lot. Let's just save it till November.
It's a tricky time of year.
Hey, weren't you going to tell... Oh, that's what we're going to talk about, eating out. But no, a different kind. Don't. I was just going to say that I know that it's a... Helen, come back
to
me.
I want to talk about it. I love talking about our food issues on the podcast.
Okay, well, fine. You come up with the topic if it's not our food.
No, I want to talk about the food.
I'm just going to say that the food in Melbourne is fucking amazing and the food culture here is unbelievable, but...
Don, tell them what you've done. You've already spent through your per diem.
Oh, yeah, I spent my per diem, but
we're 2 weeks in. And can I just say, you might not remember this, but last year when I came to Australia and I spent through my per diem for Sydney and Perth really quickly... You were like, oh, no, my first time being invited to be a comedian in Australia. Oh, sorry, Irish.
No.
Shrill. Pog Mahon. Slauncher. Okay.
Slauncher.
The right that one?
Yeah, it's just not chur, it's cha.
Cha. Slauncher. My first time coming to Australia.
God, so far off.
I was basically Helen. Here's the thing.
Who is... I use my THs.
I don't think you do.
I think I do.
You're showing off now, but you don't in general.
I definitely do.
Right. They gave me my per diem. I was so careful with it. I did not spend through it at all. I was so careful. I had money left over at the end. You literally did. Someone can go back and find it.
Fine. Let me say this, though.
You have fucked it this year.
I fucked it because my girlfriend was here, so we went out for so many gorgeous meals. And I spent so much money on mohair. I bought 2 mohair jumpers and I'm not sorry.
I've had my nails done.
Mama got crazy. And then...
My per diem is still standing and I want
that
on...
You got paid late. Fuck you.
But still, my per diem is standing and there's a reputation that I'm bad with my money.
Only because you tell us what you do with your money and it's always bad.
On magical trips to go see Hitler's Eagle's Nest that was closed and I've got a book to go back. But still...
Helen, all I was trying to say was just that it's been really nice eating out loads, but I do find it quite stressful to not have any like regularity with food.
Yeah.
And then I overthink everything and I get kind of choice. I get overwhelmed, but also I feel disconnected from my body and like I can't tell if I'm hungry or not. And also I find it really hard when you're ordering as a group and I get overwhelmed. And now I'm just going to cook for myself for a week so I feel like a normal girl again.
And I support that 100%. I think,
but I realise that that's such an incredibly niche privileged problem. I've had too many meals at restaurants and now I don't feel normal.
I think everyone will understand that too. Like, not even if it's eating at restaurants, just the fact that if you're on like a holiday and you're with a group of people, if you're like renting like an Airbnb somewhere, like you're no longer in charge of what you eat for breakfast, lunch and dinner, because everything is like, are we buying this box of cereal? Are we getting this in for breakfast? And suddenly all your meals become this thing that everyone's around. And if you're someone that's struggled with a food issue at any point in your life, like no matter how big or small, you can't help but feel slightly judged sometimes, or like you're making like the wrong choice, or you've got to like pick what you think people would like, or the group order for the table.
And you're totally out of control.
Yeah, yeah, it's so out of control.
Yeah.
And it's so tricky. Because you also, it's hard. I know we spoke about this last week a bit. I don't know if it was in the main episode of The Extras, but just sort of like, if to be in a group of people and not feel left out, not uninclude anyone, but also not to not be involved for, like, you can't not go to everything.
Yeah.
Like, I have not gone to a lot of the meals.
You've been riding that sore throat for quite a week now.
I'm thriving.
Yeah, I'll bet you are.
To be on both,
I haven't spent my per diem because I've stayed indoors for 8 days.
I am thriving on vocal rest. Also because...
Yeah, and can you hear it? She really needs it. Don't fake cough now. Don't you fake cough at me. Don't you fake cough. For God's sake.
I did have a very sore throat.
Really?
It's mainly through me yelling at the Melbourne audiences because there's like no Disney adults here and I'm just like genuinely
pissed.
You
get really mad about that, huh? Hey, maybe
I get mad about it if after the show these like fucking Australian girls come up to me going like, we actually really love Disney. And I'm like, there was literally 15 of us in the whole crowd.
You couldn't have said.
And you couldn't have said.
You couldn't have said. Maybe our guest will be a Disney adult.
I got so angry the day on stage, I screamed and a bit of piss came out. I'm not joking.
Right, let's bring on our guest.
I think
please,
I'm losing.
No.
I think I'm losing.
That. It's a no from
my,
me.
Wait, no, I've got one more thing about food before we bring on our guest. One, just super, super quick.
Go on.
Because I've just realised the time. No, actually, it's not important. I'll do it next week.
That good, eh?
Yeah. Okay. I thought it was actually too big of a
next
thing.
Next week it is. Please welcome our tremendous guest,
Reese Nicholson.
Woo! Australia's own.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hello, it's me, Catherine Bohart, and I'm going on tour. My show is called Again With Feelings. And oh my gosh, you guys, I would absolutely love if you bought a ticket in advance because people keep sending me emails about the places that aren't selling well and it's very stressful. So I'm doing Macfest in Wales. I'm doing Brighton, Aldershot, Edinburgh, Glasgow, York, Newcastle, Norwich, Winchester, Cambridge, Oxford, Bath, Birmingham, Manchester, Leeds, Liverpool. I'm now doing Bolton. We're adding Bolton. Sheffield, Exeter, Corsham, Bristol, Coventry, Guildford, Portsmouth, Swindon, Dublin, and then I'm back in London. The point is, I have a lot of tickets to sell, and I'm not really sleeping. So grab a ticket. Hey, grab a ticket at CatherineBohart.com. You'd go, wouldn't you, Helen?
I loved it.
Have you been?
Leicester.
Oh, you went to a work in progress. Yeah. Yes, that's true. But it's going to be better than that even, I hope.
And also, you're going to have the best time in Bolton. It's my favourite accent in the UK. Bolton. Bolton. Hello.
I guess I'll find out what it is when I get there. Yeah. Please come to the tour.
Look at me, baby.
Look at me. Ooh, she's jiggling. She's jiggling her titties. They're jiggling their titties at each other. Hello. Reese Nicholson, how the hell are you, my love?
I'm great. How are you?
You look like you have reached your final form. You look divine.
Oh, the final
divine.
Evolution this of the Pokemon.
Oh my gosh.
When I'm embalmed, this would be nice. Like yeah. When I'm laying in state and
stunning,
people come and look
stunning,
at me like
lemon. It's like, wow, Drag Race money suits you, honey.
Oh yeah, and I make so much money off that show. They definitely don't know that they make you famous that I don't pay you heaps.
Oh.
No, I get paid the correct amount. Good. I get paid the correct amount.
Okay.
But I wouldn't say it's like, you know.
Well,
it's like, it's TV money.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
Stupid. It's stupid amount
for
of money
for, jobs.
What, for what we
sure.
do.
It's enough to go on like a world cruise if you so wish.
Yeah, but cruises. Would you like a cruise?
It's
more
dream.
Than
it's
anything at the
it's
moment. I have
woman.
Got so into it.
See, I've worked on, I've performed on cruises before.
How can you get me in?
Absolutely.
Like genuinely.
P&O cruises.
Yes, really? Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, they do comedy cruises and they get into that. Open water and they do donuts in international waters so they can sit, so they can open the casino. And then you do a couple shows and they're not bad. I will do them again.
Will you?
But like
on
the
way
money
down.
Is in, yeah, on the, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's like doing working men's clubs in the UK. If yeah. Like. We call them RSLs here. Like the
what does the RSL stand
RSL
for?
RSL stands for Returned Servicemen's League.
Oh God, okay.
And they're kind of, they were kind of like, you know, we're like men who have been to war. We go and talk to each other. And now they're just kind of a lot of fruit machines. And
that's just the comics. Hey! I'm sorry.
Not at those bars, I'm assuming. Sorry. Come on now. Wait, so you go on it. How many shows do you do a day on P&O Cruise?
So you only have to do, on these comedy ones, you do two shows, but one of them is like your headline show. So it's like 35, 40 minutes. You're allowed to say whatever you want, but you can't say cunt. That's the only thing.
Really?
You're not allowed to make jokes about the captain. Those are the rules.
Oh. Do not disrespect the captain.
You have to say it's a ship, not a boat.
Yes, that
there's like
people,
weird little
maritime people are funny about that, and they're
really?
Also really funny about gendering boats.
Yes,
like you think that like humans have a problem with like the binary? It's boat. The bloody mariners.
The gender really? Dysphoria involved in being a boat.
Really?
Oh, it's insane. Yeah.
What do they have to be?
Her. She's a lady.
We should put our money to get our TV drag race money and yes, we should buy a boat and it should be a they them boat.
They,
the first they them boat.
The people of the seas will be
and we
livid.
Smash like a gin and tonic over it.
It goes
like
they-ling around. Thanks everybody.
And
I love
instead
it.
Of like a lady with her tits out sort of being the master of the boat, it's just someone with a mullet.
It's just May Martin.
Yes! It's just May Martin.
We just call it the May Martin.
That's
and it's on
perfect.
Its May Martin voyage.
They're here all week, my love.
Oh my god, I can't believe you've done everything in your career. You've cruised and you've been on TV.
I will be back. Like because you do. So you do your show and then they also have these like little gala things. It's like, and it's not bad. It's like being on a little like group tour. As long as the good, you've got mates on the ship with you. Like, it's
but
like,
isn't it also only good if your gig goes well?
Yes. Like I always ask, the person who books me on them is a mate of mine and she always makes sure to put me on the last night. I don't know if I said, but she puts me on the last night because then you can be kind of anonymous the whole
heaven on earth.
Trip.
Heaven on earth.
And you can just be at the, whereas if you're headlining on the first night, you are very famous to everyone on the ship.
Oh my God.
And if it goes well, it's still also annoying because you're trapped on a hotel in the middle of the ocean with people going like, I've got one for you.
Oh,
I remember when this happened. Whereas if you're on the last night, you just do your back to your cabin and you
disembark
the next morning at 7 a.m.
Whoa.
Wow.
That is my, genuinely, that is like a nightmare I would have.
Yeah. It's not ideal.
But you can get food. All around.
That's not my dream.
It's, maybe not, but
it's
a buffet
24/7. Yeah.
Like, you know, if you are in the context of we're in the middle of the ocean right now and they made this.
All right, fair enough.
Like, it's good, like, it's good if you're not, if you're just like junk fooding and just kind of like good burgers and that sort of thing. And
look at the light in your eyes just sparkling away.
Yeah. And I think, Helen, you would like it.
I've got the vibe of someone that could like, be like, no, like really red forehead, like super burn, like always insisting on going for cigarettes, but the wind is too strong, but relighting it.
I become a chain smoker on a cruise ship.
Yeah, really?
Because you kind of just have to fill time. Yeah. Like I was a smoker for years and then I quit. And then as soon as I'm on a cruise ship, I just start up again.
Well, it's the rules of the sea.
But also is it that you have to go to a certain place to smoke? So if you go all that way, you're like, well, I'm not just having one.
And it just gives you... You have so much time to fill. You have because also that when you're, I think being a passenger is a different experience. As a when you're technically working on the ship, so you can drink and things, but you're kind of not allowed. There's certain like I don't think you're allowed to use the zip line. for example, or like, I think you're not really allowed.
Catherine, you don't understand. It's a moving city. And I feel like you've got the wrong idea, the wrong idea about how amazing these cruise ships are. Some of them have theme parks on them.
Yeah. What? Some of them are theme parks. But then also some of them are like, I've not worked on like kind of family ones. I think they're the ones that have all the cool stuff though. Like I do, and I'm not making this up. This sounds like something I made up. They had a little cinema in there and I walked past one night and they were playing the movie. Like this proves to me that they have a sense of humor. They were playing Perfect Storm.
That's good stuff. Titanic would have been braver, but yeah. I respect it.
It's still the ocean being angry.
Or Jaws.
Yes.
Wait, what's Perfect Storm?
Perfect Storm is a George Clooney vehicle.
I think so. Wasn't it? It was George Clooney, wasn't it? And they're on that relatively small ship.
When he was still working out his ER into movie stardom.
I'm checking.
It was like fisherman in a storm.
Yeah.
Great. The Perfect Storm.
And
it's like little ship. Which I'd imagine the CGI would make us feel
sad.
Was
it a little ship or a little boat?
It was a little boat. Now, sad.
There we go. We've got to be careful.
And the little boat in big waves.
George Clooney. It is George Clooney. And that's who I was getting confused with. Because it's also Mark Wahlberg.
What's this? The fact that of course they've met, but the fact that they've spent 3 months together.
Wait, I'm adding this to my list of things I have to watch.
A deadly storm rises in the North Atlantic and the lives of a bunch of commercial fishermen are in serious danger. They must do everything in their power to survive.
Wait, this sounds way up my street.
Yeah, I'll link it.
I've had two recommendations here from a Kiwi and an Australian of things to watch. First, from an Australian. I still haven't Googled it, so I don't know what it is. Something called Blinky Bill.
Blinky Bill?
What is it?
Blinky Bill is very important to us.
No, I don't think it is because the name doesn't. Okay.
No, it is. If you're particularly my age, it was like on TV a lot, but
25.
It was like old. I'm 25. I'm 22, thank you.
Oh, sorry.
It was a TV show that I think was big in the 60s and 70s, and then they remade it in the 90s. But it's this mischievous little koala called Blinky Bill, and he wears red overalls, and one of the things is kind of down. And
it's like a nip-slipped koala.
Yeah.
And a genderqueer busybody.
What's his girlfriend's name? Not girlfriend, but like best friend. But there's sexual tension, but they're children.
Like a will they, won't they, but they're children.
Yeah. Okay. Like they'll probably get married when they're old. Like if they were to do an episode where they jump forward, they're probably married.
Yes.
I think her name was like Gumnut or something. Like
Gumnut. Gumnut the koala. Wait, Simon, do you remember this? Did you have it in Tasmania?
Yeah, my friend's mom was the voice of Blinky Bill.
Shut up.
Okay. Can they hear you on the podcast?
Sorry, are you able to turn that mic on?
Oh, I'm so sorry. You have to say that.
Sorry, could you just say that again?
Are you okay?
My friend Danny Moore's mum is the voice of Blinky Bill.
which to find out that this mischievous young boy was played by a woman is scandalous. I mean, they can do anything now, but
isn't Bart Simpson played by a woman?
Nancy Cartwright. I met her once at Edinburgh Fringe. She was producing a comedian there and it was wild.
What?
She was over. I was in the Abattoir Artist Bar.
What a hellish name for a hellish place.
Yeah. And
they do a good espresso martinis there, really, in all fairness to them. They do make drinks better than other places.
Yes.
They have to. They're hellscape.
And it is, and it's kind of, you know, if you can find a little corner that no one's
Can I say, really good for outdoor smoking seating?
Yes.
At the Abattoir. You've got to look at the positives.
Look at Blinky Bill. Oh my God.
Now, this is also the three generations of it, because I'm now looking, there's a 3D, like this is what all kids' shows look like now. This kind of...
Yes.
So the one that we watched, that one there, that's the one that we watched as a kid.
I can see the one that looks 90s, like the one that looks like the equivalent of like British 90s.
What was his girlfriend's name? What was her name?
I really want it to be Gumnut. I want it to be Gumnut. Oh my God, it's so cute.
It's adorable.
It was hugely popular.
Oh my God, it's so
sweet. How could it not be?
And they would often, there was a movie of it that was made in like the 70s or the 80s, and it's kind of what they're doing here. They animated on top of real film. Like that. Maybe they did this in the UK as well.
So Australian budgets have always been quite.
Yeah. Well, we're only getting the money that you send us. So.
That's very funny.
Yeah, we need the name.
They look
we
like they the all name. Live in East London.
Also, just to like. I'm assuming everyone's Googling along or watching the video along with us, but like, Nutsy.
Nutsy.
Nutsy. Nutsy. Nutsy.
What's that amongst...
That's so
I mean,
funny.
This isn't helpful for the podcast, but just below...
The woman is holding up her skirt.
But what's happening below... See, there's a...
No!
On
yeah.
the second
no,
row.
No.
Over. No. What's that?
I think they see this on the screen at home?
No. Probably not. No. I reckon that if you...
Blinky Bill, human girls.
No, that's...
Google Blinky that Bill Simon. Girl.
Simon, close that down.
And you will see an image come up that I'm going to say is not a Blinky Bill appropriate.
Yeah, I would
also,
agree.
Catherine, the more I see this, the more I feel like I've seen this.
Now, and...
I think did this come to the UK? I don't know. I didn't live there when I grew up.
And the... and there was this old man called Wombo... That was like and
a wombat.
He was a wombat, but his name was Mr. Wombat, and they were running out of names, I think. And Blinky would call him Wombo, and every time, and this is a better impression than it's going to sound.
Here we go.
But people listening will, and he'd always go, "Don't call me Wombo," and
oh, that was spot on.
Was that kind of all right?
Okay, yeah. Simon's over the moon.
Impressed.
Yeah.
Simon's impressed. Oh, that's
I mean,
a bit of fun.
With no Blinky Bill, his friend's mum.
Yeah.
Wow, he would know. Wow, so a real David move.
Yeah.
It's David, actually. Okay, Dave, chill out. Yeah.
Blinky right. Bill, I actually want to watch it. It seems adorable because these people after my show were like incredibly passionate about Blinky Bill.
Okay, so that's
so I wrote it down as
potential.
Something to watch. And then the other thing I had recommended, which I have already
Backdoor
watched.
Flats 4.
How do you know what she...
You got to watch 1 to 3 to get what's going on.
Backdoor Sluts 4.
Yikes.
The franchise really kicks off from 4 to 12.
And you think it's 4 the number, but it's actually 4.
And it's nothing
and
to do with... To be clear, it's nothing to do with anal. Their front door does not work,
yeah,
okay? And
yeah.
they haven't called the landlord to get the keys replaced.
But they are sluts.
They're slutty, but they really cannot do house admin.
Behave. What is the other one? What was the other thing?
Heavenly Creatures.
Oh, yes.
What had never this? Even heard of it. Catherine?
Kate Winslet. You'll...
It's incredible.
Kate Winslet, with a Kiwi accent, Melanie Linsky.
Mm-hmm.
I know who Melanie Linsky is, yeah.
Did you know that she's a Kiwi?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, good.
She used to be on The L Word, which is when I first mm-hmm. saw her. Oh, my God.
So they play Heavenly Creatures. It's a famous story in New Zealand about these girls that were like classic, I think we, as queer people, we had these people like best friend that you absolutely were in love with.
Yes. Yeah.
And they murder a man together, and it's a true story. No.
They murder her mum.
Yeah,
together.
That's right.
As teenage
queer
girls.
Narratives.
Yeah. But it's very like, did they?
And do they end
and
up
it's
in
kinda
love?
It's kind of horny. It's like a bit like, and it's Melanie Linsky. And
are they smooching?
I think there's a bit
there's
of that.
One. Yeah. I don't want to give it away.
I'm in.
Saw a show where someone referenced it, and the whole audience were like, "Yeah." And I was thinking,
TV
like,
show
"Oh,
or
I hate
film?
It when you
TV
don't get the film.
Let's watch it and on our spotlight."
Babe, I've already watched it. I literally went home from the show. I watched the first hour of it. I woke up early the next day and watched the second 40 minutes.
And it's kind of Kate Winslet's.
It's her first film.
It's her first film.
Remember when films were an hour and 40 minutes?
I said,
remember. When you could like do two of an evening?
Yeah.
This is a, yeah, COVID.
not a 6-hour evening.
We like, this is a huge thing between my husband and I that he doesn't mind a lot. Like I don't mind a lot, but I need to be in the right mood.
Yeah.
Like you need to catch me at exactly the right, like stars need to be aligned in a certain way for me to go, yes, let's watch a 3.5-hour movie.
Yeah.
Like I'm a bit grumpy, I'm not going to the movies to watch a 2.5-hour movie.
No.
Unless the experiment of the movie is... See how fucking long this is? Like, if I'm watching a movie and like we could have wrapped this up.
Yeah.
I love an hour and a half.
Yes, please.
Comedy. Because it can be done. If we can do a stand-up show in an hour.
Right.
And even then, like, I think that's too long.
I can talk about my whole... Oh, it should be 40.
40
industry
minutes.
Standard should be 40 minutes.
I agree. But if we can wrap up Family Trauma in 45, you can shorten that
And then
film.
A bit of crowd work to fill it out at the
Don't
end.
Don't mind if we do. Sometimes that happens.
To fill it out.
I was saying to Reese the other day when we were at a gig, which is like, I know a gig is going badly. If at like minute 52, I'm like, so what's your name?
Yeah.
Even the last 10 minutes, you're introducing new characters from the audience. Things have not gone well and you're filling time.
But don't you ever think like you're on minute 52, wrap it up. Everyone else is going to be glad to like.
I think maybe we were saying 42. Because I think.
Yeah, I think
42.
So too.
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
so too.
If you're selling a show with an hour, 50 minutes is fine.
I agree.
My
but...
show is running long, so I'm actually finishing it earlier most nights because I think people would rather get out before you hit the hour than hitting it. It's not a challenge to fill the time.
100%.
For sure they don't want it.
Reese, you live here?
I do.
What should we be doing? Sorry, high pressure question.
No, but this is the thing, because I used to live in Sydney for a long time.
I've been there. Reese.
And I've heard
Reese,
of it.
Reese, can I tell you, Reese, can yes, I tell you?
Yes.
I've been to the Taronga Zoo and I saw a possum on the street in Sydney.
This is the thing that you don't get. See, the way that Australians go to London and are just, so fascinated by seeing, I know that foxes in London are a problem, but we see them and we're like, oh my God, because it's like seeing, we grew up watching the animals of Farthing Wood, seeing a fox is like.
Oh my God, I'm pretty sure I live on a fox's street now. It's not the other way around.
Yeah.
There's so many of them where I live that it's perturbing.
Do you have confident foxes around you?
Oh my God, very ballsy.
I've got one that looks me in the eye.
They're so cute. I'm a big part of my algorithm on Instagram is videos of baby fox, puppy, kind of puppy fox?
Cubs?
Yeah.
Cubs? Fox cubs?
Fox cubs.
Kittens? At people's English doors, just like,
yeah,
and they're so cute, and then they grow up and they look kind of sinister.
Kind of, they are.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
Reece,
you're right. If you're a sly fox, you're kind of a
threat. Yeah, I agree.
I want to show you mine algorithm. Mine is about Australian seals with learning difficulties.
Okay.
Because I've basically been following.
Is seals a code word for something, or are they?
No.
Seal from Tasmania.
Were they clubbed in the head?
No. But they think they're human. It's so silly. And they're always on land. They're always on land, flopping around. And every single night, the Tasmanian police have to be like, right, Neil, back in the water. Off your
butt. And they're so not built.
No.
To.
It's cruel. It's cruel. They look inbred and yet not.
But again, a baby seal. Adorable.
Insane so the size cute. Of the eyes.
So cute.
When I lived in Sydney, there was plenty of things I could have, because Sydney's full of tourist attractions.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Melbourne's tourist attraction is Melbourne.
I know what you mean.
You know what I mean? There's nothing to, you can't look at Melbourne skyline and be like, that's Melbourne. We don't have anything you can go and look at and go, wow. But kind of restaurants is the thing. And things to do.
Yeah. Best ones. Let's see if we've eaten at any of them.
The best restaurant in the country is in Melbourne. It's called Attica. And it is genuinely, it's in the top 50 restaurants in the world.
Wow.
Gets
Attica.
Voted every year.
Whoa.
And it's this amazing, and it's similar to, what's the place in Sweden that everyone, not Sweden, but
Noma.
It's kind of Noma, that kind of an experience. It's it's $500 a head and dollars.
And you're taking
dollars.
Us?
Yeah, let's all go. Come on, Sarah, go on,
Really?
No.
But it's in between our birthdays.
Yeah.
And as a birthday present for you, you could take me for, I was sort of doing that. That's okay.
I did something weird the other day that my friend was pointing at me and I just put my mouth around their finger because I didn't know what else to do.
I've done that before. Yeah, people do not like it.
Oh, she, it was Okum's mouth. She hated it.
Yeah, people really don't like it.
It's a huge invasion of privacy. If it was a workplace.
It's a cuddle from the mouth.
You shouldn't point, it's rude.
Yeah.
And now they know.
You point at me, I'm gonna put my mouth around that.
And that's not a euphemism for anything. We're just married.
Yeah.
Attica is great. Yeah. There's a place in the city called Gimlet that's these are all kind of fine, not fine dining, but kind of experiency places.
Gimlet, isn't that where the Obamas went?
Yes.
Okay, yes.
How would you know that?
Because another pair of gays had just been and were the Obamas went there, but don't get the pasta.
I was at a friend's house that night who is a restaurateur, and he had friends there that were restaurateurs, and we're all having dinner and stuff. There was other people there as well, but we're all having dinner and things. And it turned out to be the guy that owns Gimlet and Andrew McConnell. And we were like, oh, how's Gimlet going? And he said, oh, the Obamas are there tonight. And the table went, why are you here? But then he kind of made a good point that he was like, what's that? He trusts his staff and what's that experience? For you know, when you see even if someone that you really idolize across the room, what do you get? David Byrne is my favorite person from the band Talking Heads.
Yeah.
And I saw him across a room at a big, I was at.
I don't know anything about him. That wasn't an attack. That was a question.
He just makes really, I really like Talking Heads music, mm-hmm. but, and he's like in his 70s now and he still makes like really great, and he's just very cool.
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't know, he just like, everything he does is very like artful and very like, he releases music in a weird way and he's never gotten bad.
Okay, amazing.
Does that make
That's
sense?
That's a great idea. Like, yeah.
I saw him, I was at an after party for something and I saw him across the room and a friend was like, you should go and talk to him. And I was like, what's that experience? Like, I'm going to go up and say, hello, you're my favorite thing. And he'll go, thank you. And even if he's the nicest he possibly can, I'm like the 10th person to say that to him that
yeah.
day.
I was talking about this recently because I did a TV show with a big, like a big name comic. And mm-hmm. I was watching, it was Graham Norton. Mm-hmm. You know Graham Norton.
Yeah.
And
I don't know him, but he said my name on radio once.
Amazing. That totally counts.
Yeah.
But
I know him very well.
I think, and I don't know whether or not this is speaking out of turn, but like watching, he is so kind to everyone he mm-hmm. meets. But also, I found it quite stressful to talk to him because I felt like, God, where everyone today, it's their first time meeting mm-hmm. Graham Norton, and mm-hmm. he's just trying to get mm-hmm. like through the working hours. And you're like, it's a lot of pressure. It must feel so stressful to be everyone's biggest moment.
Yeah.
Well, I think this is a thing that really fascinates me about my employer, RuPaul,
yeah.
is that there are these kind of like stories about him. Like people kind of have this opinion about him that he's kind of cold and aloof.
Yeah.
But he's not, he's at work. Like, yeah. as in, this is what I've witnessed at
yeah.
least. Like,
yeah.
as in, you know, he's like a man in his 60s dressed as a woman convincingly in her 20s.
Yeah.
And he's tired. And like, I think yeah. it's proof to me, yeah. whenever drag queens have been kind of yeah. like, kind of saying like, yeah, he said to me on camera, off camera, like, you know, save it for the camera. That to me is someone who's never been on a TV show before.
Yeah.
And doesn't know that, yeah, we're all here to work and we're just trying to...
Yeah.
Get
yeah.
done today. And
also someone can be like warm and welcoming and loving, but doesn't need to be talking to like everyone at all times.
Oh,
you know, like
we've all been on a panel yeah. show before where like the host has an earpiece in and you're talking about things, like you're just yeah. chatting and then you see them kind of go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I remember the first time that ever happened to me, I went, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And now I realize, oh no, the people in the control room mm-hmm. are just talking to them right yeah. now and yeah. they can't talk to me anymore.
And also like, I have seen people who are effusively kind, incredibly generous, like so attentive to one another. But if they so much as like, if anyone catches them on their one day off, that's the story.
Story.
And you're like, come on.
And I also think.
Or just on their phone for a second.
Yeah.
My
yeah.
theory is that if someone is very, very nice on stage, they're usually the worst. Mm-hmm.
That's so interesting.
Like,
yeah, that's
But
so
it's
like,
true. It's so true.
The people that, the famous people that we know mm. that are like in the media, like, and look at all these great things I'm doing and we're raising money for all this charity. They're usually the greatest monsters of all.
Uh-huh.
And then
oh my God, I wanted your name so bad, but I know we can't.
I mean, they're the obvious, like they're the very public ones. Like, you know, but like, yeah. but then the people that are usually the worst on stage I often like the nicest.
The nicest,
ones.
That's so
like,
true.
Like they're the like
Fan Brady, so little shout out to Fan Brady's got a little bit about that in their new show. Yep. And it's super good.
About James Corden.
You know, I once served James Corden.
Yeah, yeah.
What?
I used to serve him coffees every morning because I was working
work
in the what's
Balthazar? Wasn't that the big story? There was this big
oh,
story.
Oh no, this is before like Gavin and Stacey.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
He was doing, or maybe no, it was after Gavin and Stacey, but I was working in the Espresso Bar at the Royal National Theatre, and he was doing a play there called One Man, Two Governors, and he used to serve him coffees.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And he was fine.
Yeah.
Right. I think it was before the story.
Right, okay. Yeah.
But you know, do you know, everyone knows like the famous, like whether it's about him or not, but the plane story?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
People know
the bag helping thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
No, wait,
yeah.
what? I don't know this one.
Who even knows if this is true?
Yeah, that's the thing. Who freaking knows?
But it's like I think one of someone the put it on Reddit rants. Or someone put it on Twitter or something.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But he was on a plane and he was in like, you know, they were in the nice bit of the plane. And there was this woman with a baby next to him the whole time with crying. And they were maybe going from New York to London or something. Like, it wasn't a huge
yeah, yeah, yeah.
stretch, but it was like... and he was just... And the woman kept kind of throughout the flight going like, sorry, but like, God, the baby. And he was like, no, it's totally fine. Don't worry about it. And he just sat with headphones on and watched movies the whole time.
Yeah.
And blah, blah, blah. Then right at the end, she's up and she's got the baby and she's getting back. And she says to him... And the person was thinking the whole time like, he's being so... Like, you know, there's his yeah, baby screaming next to him yeah. in first class and he's being totally fine. He's being a human. Yeah. And then as she's getting bags down, she was like, can you at least fucking help me get the bags down? And it became clear that that was his wife and child.
Yeah. And he literally just like was letting her do everything.
And who knows if it's true?
Yeah.
A fun proviso with this story.
Things get told and told and told and they get taken out of context. Like, who freaking knows?
Who knows?
Who knows?
We
do.
You know.
The part that I find implausible is that she didn't stab him during the I'm like, surely if she's his actual wife, he's dead now.
I've said this to you so many times, you cannot kill in a closed space. Because that's how you end up with shows like The Murder on the Orient Express, which is probably a book first. Terrible place to commit a murder.
Yeah, you're right.
Terrible. So right.
That is the learning from that.
It's so stupid.
Reese.
Always commit in an open space, like Heavenly Creatures.
Okay,
and that's a callback.
Nice.
That was good. Yeah. Do a listen problem. Yeah.
I think we should. But before we do that, what kind of advice giver would you consider yourself?
I think I'm a... After a couple of wines, I got all types of thoughts.
Yeah.
But I think I'm usually a... My husband is a very good... You know about my husband, Kai? He's quite an advice giver, I think. Like...
But what do you think... If somebody was going to come for, like, your expertise, what do you think... What do you think you're good at giving advice on?
Dealing with... I think I'm pretty good at, like, dealing with a mistake that I've made. Do you know what
phenomenal,
I mean? Like,
phenomenal.
As in, like,
okay, phenomenal. I love that.
Being kind of like, ooh, I fucked this up. How am I going to smooth this over? Lies, I guess.
Great.
I think I'm probably good at manipulating loved ones into thinking I'm not a monster. So I would do that.
Honesty of that answer.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. All right. Do I have the problem?
Favorite manipulation technique.
Yeah.
Mine's tears.
Yeah. Mine is be in a constant state of chaos. So when seem like you're in a constant state of chaos, so when it actually is real chaos, people just go, that's just because Reese is chaotic.
Slay.
Yeah.
I've just got a lot going on at the moment.
Which must be hard for you, Catherine, because you are a very together person.
And so Catherine's fine.
Thank you for saying
so
that.
So when things are going on, it must be like, this is just like people know something's off, something's chaotic around you.
Well, I think it's more like I could have the biggest disaster happening and people are like, she's got this. And I'll be like, I need help, but I don't know how to ask for it.
So yeah, that's true. You don't ask for it. People have got to try and guess.
It's interesting to find, like, have you ever had anything? I recently was in an immense amount of pain. I had a kidney stone moving from my kidneys to my
Jesus,
and it was like a wild amount of pain. And I've never broken a bone. I've never like
kidney stones are horrific.
Yeah. That's like the one, isn't it?
It was really interesting to find out what I'm like in a lot of pain. I always thought, I'm probably going to be hysterical and like through. Turns out I just go dead eyed.
Yeah, me too.
And just stare into space. And I was like, kind of. Karen said I was very pale, more so.
Yeah, how did he tell? Yeah, that man, like, knows
he,
you.
He held up the swatches and was like, oh, no.
Blinking, so still alive?
I apparently just kind of like, he said he knew when like the bits, I wasn't joking or doing any bits. I was just like laying in the back of a car going to the hospital because we didn't know what it was at the time. But it was just like, this is what it's kind of comforting to know. Like, if ever I'm in a hostage situation where I've been shot and we're hiding, I'll be able to keep it together because it's always that fuckhead in the action movies.
Yeah.
In a kind of perfect
is.
Storm situation who's like, and they're like, shut up. Like, making them bite down on a piece of wood or something.
Interesting. Yeah. I think when it comes to real pain, tend to go fairly silent and quite. Denially.
Really?
I just kept going, I just went into this weird space.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's so hard in significant pain to judge, like, you don't know if it's like, are you being like a baby?
Yes.
Or is it like...
Well, it's interesting you should say that because I think the repression of it, as sometimes with my feelings, comes from where I have expressed pain before, having been treated as dramatic.
Mm-hmm.
And
are you fucking kidding? You can't say that. When I got hit by that bus in Mexico, you were the first to say, no, you fucking weren't. Okay.
Helen, tell Reese what happened.
I got hit by a bus in Mexico.
Tell
Reese
what actually happened. Tell Reese how
I was getting off a bus and the doors closed on me, but I was technically hit by a bus. And
you
I'm
get
not
it,
having
right?
this.
You, hit by, you were hit by part of a bus.
No.
I was hit by a bus.
You she had the door.
My feet. You were my feet. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
You were touched by a bus.
My arm bruised. My arm bruised, big.
You
all
hit
the
a
way
bus.
Here.
To my mind, yeah. Helen hit. There was hit. The bus was hit by Helen.
Yeah, actually,
which is body shaming.
It's kind of similar to like when people have like bruises on their hands.
Yeah,
in TV
from hitting
shows,
a wall.
From hitting a wall.
I agree. Are you all ready for this problem?
Sorry, I am. I want you to know, usually, as a fan of this podcast, I'm usually on your side.
I thought you were saying I'm usually
on your side. But hey, for this moment, not you, but I mean, come on.
Okay, yeah, Reese, yeah. Can I tell you about my pain? Reese, can I tell you about my pain?
No, yeah. We're doing the problem.
It's not the same as kidney stones. I accidentally ate 4 pessaries, which are tablets that are supposed to go in your vagina for thrush. But I didn't realise you put them in your vagina, so I swallowed them orally. And then I had a little bit of a tummy ache, and that wasn't very nice.
No yeast in there, though.
No yeast. A lot of thrush cream, yeah. Which comes out fast. But what I did last time I was in...
Did you ever date a woman, do you reckon?
Sounds great. Anyways.
No, Catherine, I want to say my actual pain story. Because I'm actually very stoic as well, and I want people to know that, despite the fact I have like made up bruise with eyeshadow before for attention.
Because stoic people famously, we don't know what they're thinking.
Yeah. I'm a bloody mystery. I'm actually a mysterious girl. Futrondria wrote it about me. So I was like in Oslo, and I was like, God, my stomach hurts. I never pull shows, particularly if you've been like flown out to do them. And I was like, oh my God, I can go on stage if I'm a bit sick. It's fine. My stomach was hurting so bad. I actually dropped out of the gig that evening and then literally waited 3 days of not being able to drink or eat. And then I was like, I can't just go to a hospital. That just feels so alarmist. So ended up calling up the insurance company and they went, straight to the hospital. Like, you've got to go. You're clearly going to be very dehydrated. And I was like, no. And I knew I was in loads of pain, but I couldn't register if it was enough to warrant going. I think if I was in the UK, I would have gone because I know what I'm doing. Yeah. But I don't want to go to a hospital in a different country where I don't know anyone.
Those stoic Oslo people.
And then those stoic Oslo people. And I knew why I felt sick, but I didn't want to like, I was eating an egg out of my bra every day. We don't have time for this. But like,
I've heard you talk about that.
It's like a thing I've been through. but like, eventually get to the hospital and they're like, we could have, like, if you'd have come in and we could have pumped your fluids, we could have been done with this. But it's like, I also don't want to be someone that's like draining resources.
Yeah. And that's it. With the kidney thing, I didn't want to, it was like the middle of the night and it took my husband to talk me into going to the hospital.
Yeah.
Do you have to kind pass of like, it?
No, it dissolved. Dissolved in my bladder. But it's the pain, the most pain you're in is when it is going from your kidney to, it's happened twice now, into your bladder. So it's like a little jagged piece of calcium working its way through what it turns out, quite a small little pipe.
Is that stress related?
Well, this is what I asked. I said, is this like food? And she said, no, you're the right. And I said this on stage the other night. But the doctor said you are the right age and gender for this to start happening. She didn't know I'm a non-binary person, so now I have a jagged piece of calcium dysphoria in my body who is openly misgendering me.
That is fucking bullshit.
Bullshit.
Have you got the calcium out now?
No, but I would like to make a ring out of it.
Oh, that would be so cute.
Like a little... Like Karen and I could get put on as like little wedding bands. It's like a little.
That'd be so special.
This is why people are homophobic. You know that, right? That's some queer fucking gross
piss stones.
That's disgusting. Really your piss rings.
Our piss rings.
That's disgusting.
Sorry.
No, that's sick and wrong. Okay, you ready for this?
Yes, and we're saying we're all brave.
It's from A.
Hi, A.
Hi, A.
Hi.
Hey, you bunch of hot hogs. Oh. I'm looking for any advice you can give me. I'd quite happily chuck myself down a well at this point.
Yeah.
So.
Oh.
I like to tell people to throw themselves into wells. Yeah, it's like a thing.
So I'm 26, single, currently living with my parents in one of the most boring places in the world, Chester. Paint a picture of Chester for Reese, please.
The most charming place of all time.
No, incorrect.
It's a city in the north. It's a walled old city. They've got a big zoo on the outskirts of it. And you know the Real Housewives franchise in the UK? There is a Real Housewives of Chester because they're like it's like a rich, like a lot of footballers live there. It's like
it's got a wag vibes.
Cece's dog in The Nanny was called Chester.
In The Nanny?
The Nanny, Cece Babcock, the little dog that she would carry around, but The Nanny
the
liked
girl
her
that
more.
Fran looked after.
No.
The American sitcom.
That's right. You guys didn't have The Nanny. Sorry.
Is that with Fran Drescher?
Yes. I forget.
I know what it is. I've seen clips, but I don't know the story.
We had it in Ireland.
Me and Rose Matafeo have talked about this a lot, where The Nanny was huge in Australia.
And Ireland.
Huge in New Zealand. Huge in Ireland. I think I looked this up once. They played like 7 episodes in the UK.
No.
And it never turned into a thing.
Oh, you missed
it. I know what it is now from pop culture references as an adult. I've never seen an episode.
Okay, well, let's stay on thread. She was the reason that the actor strike worked.
Good for her.
Yeah.
And she doesn't look like she's aged a day. No. I'm unemployed at the moment and have been since the start of the year. I'm just getting by with savings, but I'm driving myself up the wall. I've been looking for jobs.
26-year-old have savings?
Tell me about it. I feel like as a 26-year-old, I should start working towards a proper career, like something I want to do for the rest of my life. But I think maybe I must be aiming in the wrong direction. I have massive dreams of presenting, whether that be radio, TV, kids' TV, podcasts, whatever, really. I would eventually love to make a documentary on my experiences in and out of the mental health system, etc. I just don't bloody know where to start.
Yeah.
I have reached out so many companies and people. So many of them have said that I should start making TikToks and get traction that way. But I'm 26. I feel like nobody really cares what I have to say and feel so cringed out by making TikToks. I hear that. I've got through a few rounds into a journalism apprenticeship at the BBC, but they haven't replied to me for a month now. And even though I've emailed them, nothing has happened.
They've got some stuff they're working out over there, I think.
Yeah, I think they're busy. Between waiting to hear about that and applying to different jobs every single day, I'm losing what very few marbles I had before. I have started applying to do TA work, but I feel like that might just distract me from my ultimate goal.
Tits and ass work?
So that would pay better. No,
teacher's assistant.
Ah.
I just don't know what to do. I feel like I'm moving backwards because I'm impatient and frustrated and want to scream all the time. I've just lost the motivation to keep going because I feel like I'm getting nowhere. Please help me. Anyway, I love you lot. You make my week and I love the Hoggy community. It makes me feel so much less alone to know that there are so many beautiful piggies out there. Love you, A. But you could also call me the poo emoji.
Oh, no.
What an outro.
Let me first of all say, if you're worried about being out of touch at 26, we are... fucked. This is a worry. I also do not understand TikTok. It's hard of it because...
You should see Catherine trying to turn the torch on her phone yesterday at a show where they asked us to turn the torches on our phone.
Well, usually it's on, so I couldn't believe it wasn't. Then I had to...
It was fucking... There were 60-year-olds in the front row with their phones out immediately.
No, but theirs were already on. They've been on since...
And I'm saying mine usually...
Since a restaurant that they were at 2 weeks ago and they were trying to see the menu.
Those places are awful dark.
Yeah.
I don't know what the lighting at Gimlet's like, but good God, sometimes
you... Do you know what you do, though? You get the napkin and you wrap it around the light and it...
Very nice.
It diffuses it.
You know what I do? Water glass and I make a lamp. Have you ever done that? If you're outside at a table and you need light, you would... We can't turn off the lights because it's the power.
Oh, but I see how that...
But that would then glow green. It's gorgeous.
That's so nice.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Actually, that's genius. Well, anyway,
Life hack.
So, A.
So, anyway, do that.
Oh, really? Do you think we solved that then?
Yeah.
Well, no, I think the thing is, so they want to be a presenter and they are struggling with the advice they're being given.
Well, a presenter and a documentarian.
Yeah, and they are feeling like it's almost too late, even though they're only 26.
Yes.
What's our thoughts?
We
don't want to let the guest, maybe?
No, because I've got an immediate thought.
Go on.
I think that you go for the most accessible form of media. And they're right when they suggest online stuff, because you are in full control of the edit and what you want to do with that. If that doesn't feel the right thing for you, then I think you go for the next accessible media. Like, the BBC is amazing and love that you're contacting them, but you're going to have local radio stations. There's always a local radio station that has a spot. Yeah, a big apprenticeship is hard to get, but like, if you're unemployed and you've got savings and they're still lasting for a little bit, get some on-hand experience at a local radio station, because there are some technical things to learn.
Well, I would think at this time, whatever you want to do, at this time of your life, a skill set is far more important than opportunity. Like, as in, you want the opportunity to come later.
Mm-hmm. When you have all the skills. That's so true.
Because I feel like we've all probably been in situations where we've been given an opportunity and did not have the skills to back it up.
Yes, the first time I did stand up on television, it didn't make it to air.
Yeah.
And I'd already told my friends and family.
Never tell anyone.
Oh, we all have a version of that. Or like plenty of, I've been in workshops for panel shows and those sorts of things, like early. And then you're just kind of being like, oh, and you, like.
Hell.
Yeah, hell. And just knowing, or being on first time I was ever on a panel show and they just cut to me at one point and I never speak. Like, they just cut to me to prove that I was there, but I never spoke.
Oh, if you're a young woman on a panel show, they no matter how many times you speak, they still cut you just going,
boys.
You boys are so funny.
Oh my God, that's so
say that.
And only when our boobs are jiggling.
They don't have any clips of that for me.
Damn it.
Also think, like, it's that I think I remember being exactly the same when I was 26, where it was like, I got to get this cooking because I'm running out of time. And then at a certain point you realize, like, I've started in the last few years, I think, and things started going better for me when I realized this, and this is not like a deep thought, but it's like you should stop having like specific goals and have like a vague end like goal that you're like, because if you have these really specific things, like by the time I'm 30, I need to have done this, you're going to be disappointed by the time you're 30 if you haven't done exactly that thing. Do you know what I mean? Like if you have like that, this sounds more serious than I'm.
No, like, I'm totally with you.
If you have like a vague idea of like, oh, by the time I want comedy to pay my bills.
Yeah.
And that's whatever, and whatever version that is. And then you're not going to be like, oh, I didn't get a chat show by the time I was 40. Like, you know, like that's what it kind of used to be.
Yes.
And it also makes you more pliable within like, we are in a very strange time, where none of us understand what's going on.
Huh?
Mm-hmm. Wasn't her name A?
No, but why is it a strange?
Well, it's just like I don't understand how media works anymore.
Yeah,
like I thought I understood what I was meant, and now I've got to have a TikTok.
Yeah,
and I don't.
And
know.
It changes so fast, and it is really easy to feel out of the loop. The thing I will say in relation to this is, and I'm going to need to speak to my own experience. I had never done a stand-up gig. I hadn't been on stage until I was 27.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, like, I just want to put some context in.
We
there.
We didn't start this podcast until we were in our 30s.
Yeah.
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 I just think you. First of all, to take off the pressure, because I don't actually think that that's helping. Like constantly telling yourself you're failing at something that you're just beginning is not a good internal narrative, and it'll just mean you also miss your wins. Like if you if you do start to do something, you're like, well, it's not enough, and it's too late, and everyone else, it's like a start should be like a clap on the back. I do think. I know what you mean about feeling overwhelmed by TikTok, and I definitely need to do more
it's
of it. But
noisy.
I
it's too noisy.
But I also think. That's not terrible advice. Like,
because you're like, I know it's not your favorite app, but you're good on TikTok. Like, you consistently upload. You do.
But I just think, like, I don't have to like it to be like, this is a useful part of my job. And also, this is like a way people find me. And if I want them to come see me do stand up, which I really want, like, I want to play bigger rooms than I'm playing, then I can do some stuff.
A good, vague goal.
Yeah, that isn't, like, I can do some stuff that isn't just purely for artistic value. Like, I can do some stuff that's like, you know what? This is a way to help people find me. It's part of my admin.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure there are people who do TikTok and are like, woo, I feel so creatively fulfilled. I'm never going to be one of those people.
I don't know people. Who these people are. I mean, but, I do know these people. Yeah, like, if they exist, absolutely.
Yeah. And so, but I think, like, it's also, if you think of it as, like, building your CV or building your portfolio, it's a way to go, here I am. And also, can I say, we're not really saying the obvious thing, which is, like, make a bloody podcast. You want to host a radio show?
Yeah.
Make it. It's actually very doable. Mm-hmm. And, but just have a specific, I think, a very specific, function of it. Like, I know, say we, what's the function of ours? Just to talk to people we like and give advice.
But we're helping.
But I think as long as you have a specific angle,
Blinky
why not?
Bell?
Yes.
People will feel Blinky felt seen.
That's Blinky really felt important. Seen and Simon felt seen.
Yeah.
And we learned something
and
about Simon.
Simon's friend's mum felt seen.
Yeah. And we learned heard. Something about Simon finally. That we wouldn't have. Yeah. Also, we finally got some recognition for a woman doing man's work again. I think it was beautiful. It's feminism. But I think those are like, the thing is, it used to be though, that when we did understand how media worked, the answer would be, sorry, you just have to wait for the BBC to get back to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least now there are options where you can start yourself.
But also go local. It doesn't have to be
BBC.
I think like, there's a whole, I mean, we know about local radio because we do interviews for them when we're on
all
tour.
All the time.
But like, there's outside of like the big cities there are like radio stations, and to learn the practical skills that go around programming and how to run a mixing desk.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be good to know.
Because that is going to put you over the line. Mm-hmm. Then, you know, in the future, if it's between you and someone similar to you, but you know how to panel, you're going to get that job.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
So enjoy being ignorant. Enjoy being new and not knowing.
Because it means you're about to learn something new.
Don't show off. Just sort of go like, hey, I really want to do this and I don't know yet. Can you show me? People respond so well.
I hate fake it till you knowing. Make it.
Yeah, I'll never
too.
Fake it.
I hate it.
Oh, thank you for saying that. I didn't realize I felt
if
that
if you're a new comedian,
it.
Don't make out that you've been doing it for years. Ask them how a mic works.
Because you will be so embarrassed when you are found out, because you will be found out.
Yeah.
You will. There's a movie called Catch Me If You Can about the best con man of all time.
Reese, I've seen it.
He got caught.
Yeah.
You will get caught for lying that you know how to use a microphone.
I'm so glad you've said that, because actually, A, people do respond well to the truth of being like, please, will you help me? I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And B, it is such a special time. Mm-hmm. And I think when you put it in tandem with the fact that you're right, there's like, you want opportunity to come when you have the skill, but also there's a tiny window. If you actually get to do this job that you sounds like you want to do, when you get to do it, you'll realize there was a tiny microscopic window where people weren't watching.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's your only chance to make big uh-huh. mistakes and to learn and to play, to
like,
play.
I do think, and this is, a lot of people say this these days, but we probably came up in stand-up in a beautiful time when we didn't have to post. Like, I see so many new comedians posting everything they do
yeah.
in stand-up
oh my God,
on
yeah.
TikTok.
We and just it's like, missed that. We were so lucky.
Like, the amount of times we have bombed on and said things to people in rooms, yeah. you and I particularly, I'd imagine. I don't know. But
last
like the,
night I
I've no, seen no. her. I've seen her riff.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Holy the things crap. That we have said would ruin our lives.
Yeah. yeah. And I have one last piece of advice for Dee, which is if you are a man, I don't know if you are, but if you are, why don't you just go ahead and start identifying as a documentary maker?
Yeah.
That seems to work.
No. Yeah.
For men, it does.
Catherine, we literally just said, don't fake it till you make it.
She's not yeah, faking but I'm not it. She
saying
might make.
That, I'm saying that if you're a man and you say you are, you will be.
Yeah. It is kind of a self-sourcing pudding being a man, huh? isn't it? It just
yeah.
kind of happens.
Well, that certainly seems to be the case for like lots of the men I know who work in the yard.
Yeah.
They said they were, so they were.
Yeah.
No, I honestly think like...
Put it in your Twitter bio. Sorry,
I was
going to
say,
dead name
put it
Twitter.
In your Hinge. yeah.
No. I honestly think just like...
No, I agree. Obviously,
call
obviously
up places and be like... This is my passion. This is what I want to do. Be open about the fact that it's like, it's a wide thing. Like you want anything from kids TV presenting.
Yeah.
All the way up to like making your own documentary and just be like super open to learn, make yourself as helpful as you can for people.
And just like, start talking about something that you care about on TikTok. Doesn't matter what it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite comics is Garen Noon, who does, he's an Irish TikToker.
I know who Garen is.
Talks about... Frozen
most
food.
Irish yeah. name.
Frozen food. Most of the time it's frozen food and it's so fucking yeah. funny. Talk about something that you're passionate about and it doesn't have to be funny, but the passion will be what gets you.
And I also think I understand what they mean when they're like, you know, I feel like I'm getting older and stuff. Like everyone feels old. And I mean everyone because every single one of us is the oldest we've ever been in our whole life.
Yeah. I'm 4.
And so it feels very old.
Have you seen that Chinese kid smoking online? Who's like 5?
That guy.
He looks so old. He looks way older than me.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's all about perspective, baby.
But as in like you have so much more to go. Yeah. Like I always think like I, you know, I'm 34 and I worry that like, oh, have I not? And then it's like, oh, I have fucking ages.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it's because we're now in this weird time of media as well where all the people that we loved growing up, whether it be like French and Saunders or those types of people, got like, you know, BBC deals when they were like 22 and they were mm-hmm. just given TV shows. Mm-hmm. That's not possible anymore. And no. But it also means that I think they would even say like, there's a lot of public things of like our icons that they're probably like, oh, that is an embarrassing thing.
Yeah.
That
mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Like you're in like a nice time and like
you
just
really
get good
are.
At what you want to do and work out what you want to do. Don't, it's like there's so much pressure to just start doing it
yeah.
instead of like working out what it is.
Yeah.
But enjoy the fact that you can work it out.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
And you're living with your parents, which in theory sounds bad, but probably is like.
There's a TikTok. I would watch that entire TikTok series. I'm 26 and I live with my parents. Problem one.
Open a drawer and list what's in that drawer. There's your first TikTok.
Would watch.
Yeah. I'm 26. I'm living with my parents, and here's what in all the drawers in their house.
Yeah, would watch.
And you work towards.
I want that more than anything. I think you're now managing
Dee's career. Yeah. By the way, you won't have to do those cruises. You can just manage all the TikTokers.
No, but then we go on a cruise, and for money we open drawers on the cruise.
That's
I'm
good
so glad
stuff.
You brought up the cruise again. Genuinely, would love to like fix out a way that I could get one of those ships.
Yeah,
yeah,
I know,
that would
exactly
be
in- who books it. I mean, they're not going to fly you over from the UK.
I'll fly over. I'll get on the ship myself. If not, there's a P&O port in Southampton.
What did we learn about touching?
No.
What did we ask?
It's before? A really
what
fun jacket.
It
can I touch you, please?
Yes, you can touch it.
Sequins.
Sequins. Rhys, Reese Nicholson, where can people see you, please?
They can see me touring around the country right now, this very second, but I don't know when this is going to come out. But
like in 3 weeks?
Yeah,
weeks?
Something like that.
Okay, so I'm not in Melbourne anymore. That's done.
It's done. You missed it. It's over.
I'm going to a few. I'm going to places like Brisbane. I'm going to places like Perth. Go on reeseNicholson.com to get your details.
I'm going to Brisbane and Perth.
See you there.
Do you want to come to Australia Zoo?
Yeah, sure.
Slay.
We can see
Robert Irwin and Bindi.
He's old, like he's a little bit hot, but in a way that I'm not sure it's okay because he's 19.
Ugh.
But he looks like a man. Like he looks like
yeah.
That's what they like all say.
Yeah. I didn't know.
He looks like a man.
Don't panic. He's of age.
Put it on a t-shirt. That could be a tea towel.
But yeah, I don't know. And like I don't know. There's a new season of Drag Race coming out. And
yeah, there is.
I'm coming to the UK. I'm doing a tour. We're about to announce a tour, and I'm going to do Edinburgh.
Say more about the UK tour and Edinburgh, please, because we have obviously got loads of listeners there.
Yeah. So doing Edinburgh full run.
Oh my god.
Where's your venue?
The show is, I'm doing one of the rooms in Underbelly.
Great. What's it called?
It's called Huge Big Party. Congratulations.
Nice.
I think I'm on at 8:20 or one of those weird
Fine.
Nines.
Great.
Yeah, around there.
We'll be there.
Reese Nicholson, Huge Big Party.
I can't wait to see it.
Yeah. And then we haven't got the full dates yet, but I'm doing like a, after Edinburgh, I'll be kind of in September and October, I'll be traveling around the lovely country.
Just the UK. You're not going to do Ireland or anything.
I think I might be going to Ireland, maybe. I think there's talk of it.
Woohoo!
But maybe. I don't want to.
Oh, you must. You think of all the cousins you'll meet.
There was the last tour. Yeah, true. There was the last tour that I did there. There was a lot of like, why aren't you coming to Ireland? And I
can imagine that.
I agree. We love Drag Race. We love redheads. We love the gays.
Hey, look, I only toured Ireland for the first time last year, but it was so lush.
Yeah.
I think you'd have a gorgeous time there.
I've been to the Dublin, like to that weird comedy festival that's in the park.
Oh, Ivy Gardens. Ivy Gardens.
Yeah, yeah. We love that festival.
Yeah. Really it's nice. Incredible.
I don't mean weird in a bad way, but I mean weird in like a...
It's weird because it's in such a beautiful destination.
Yeah,
and
you're like,
huh?
Talk about cum for half an hour? Is that all right?
It seems like such a posh place. It's really gorgeous. And then we're all just like piling in. You're not really even usually like allowed on the grass.
There's
kind of energy.
There's a statue of what's his name in there? Irish writer, gay.
Oscar Wilde. Not in the Ivy Gardens, in a different gardens. Isn't it around the corner?
Maybe.
Oscar Wilde.
There's definitely a statue.
I know the statue. I've seen it. Like this.
Yeah,
he's like,
kind of sporty.
You've made him so camp.
Like
and
this.
He was.
Yeah, I was going to
say. He was.
Yeah.
He fucking
you
was.
You made him camper.
God, I can't say anything anymore, can I? I can't touch what I want. It's a bloody nightmare.
Well, this is how the men felt. Now you can see. Time's up, Helen. Time's up.
But now maybe Dee could make a documentary about that. Poor Helen.
Time's up, Helen.
How about a documentary about me going on a cruise ship?
I would watch a Poor Thing style movie, but about you. Poor Helen.
That was unkind.
You fucking your way around.
I'm a fully formed human being.
It's just called Poor Thing.
Yeah.
I would watch. Make that, please. Yeah. Make that. Hey, everybody, follow Reese Nicholson. Watch their show. See them in London. See them in Edinburgh. See them in Dublin because they better go there. Have a gorgeous
see
day.
See them in person and touch their jacket.
Don't Yay! Do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Love you. Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.